From the bondage of the order carriers of Yamaraj. Releasing. Vipram, the Brahmana. Mrityo, from death. Mumuchan, rescued. Shishupadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamila from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death. Text 21. Iti pratyurita yamya duta yatva yamantikam Yamarakyeta Saravam Chakshakshur Kadindama. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, O subdurable element enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened. In this verse, the word Pradyugitaha is very significant. The servants of Yamaraj are so powerful that they can never be hindered anywhere, but this time they were baffled and disappointed in their attempt to take away a man they considered sinful. Therefore, they immediately returned to Yamaraj and described to him everything that had happened. So we've come to the end of this initial section, and the Yamadutas have been baffled in their endeavors to release the soul, to take the soul of Ajamila to Yamaraj for his punishment, for his misdeeds. And they were convinced by reason, it says here in this verse, in text 21, in text 20, they were convinced by reason and arguments, dharmam bhagavatam vibhava, in terms of devotional service. They were convinced, but they were baffled at the same time. They were presented with arguments that were very logical and they were convincing and that were very that they couldn't refute, but they'd never come across this before. And because they're pious living entities as the dutas of Yamaraj, servants of Yamaraj, his messengers, they went back to Yamaraj for verification, for clarification on what's going on here. This Ajamila was certainly a candidate for Yamaloka, was certainly a candidate for punishment, but he slipped through the noose. He's been released, so it's a baffling situation for them. But they've let the Vishnudutas take the soul of Ajamila because they were so convincing and so effulgent and so humble in their presentation that, and they were so convinced in their understanding of the potency and the power of the holy name. And that is the whole message that we hear from these chapters, the beginning of the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is the potency of the Mahamantra, or the potency of the mantra, Lord Narayana's name, Om Namo Narayanaya. And how powerful that is explained and glorified and demonstrated and presented in all the teachings of the Vaishnava Acharyas. And Srila Prabhupada founded the Hare Krishna movement on the basis of the potency of the holy name. He liked that we were referred to as the Hare Krishnas, or the Haris, or the Krishnas, whichever way we were referred to. He liked that because people were chanting the name of God, particularly chanting the primary name of God, Krishna. That name was the maximum potency of all the names.
Krishna is. Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, Hari. All these names are primary names of God. And they have supreme importance, supreme power to give. Not just liberation, but they have the power to give prema bhakti, to give love of God, to go back to the spiritual world, to go back to the Loka Vrindavan and engage in our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I thought today we'll do a little bit of mining in the deep ocean of the nectar devotion in the Prabhupada teachings, Shrimad-Bhagavatam-Gita, Shrimad-Bhagavatam, and in the prayers and the poems of the Vaishnava Charitas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhagavatam-Das Thakur. And also, and consider some of the pastimes in terms of the potency of the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And also to consider some of the personal experiences that we might have had here as a, you know, today. Workshop a little bit on the power of the holy name and share some of the acts of serendipity. The word serendipity in the English language means those activities that happen, they're by chance. They happen by chance and they're for a good purpose. They give a good result. Serendipity. So we have a lot of those experiences. We call them Krishna's mercy, Krishna's hand. The devotees become trained in serendipity. They become trained in seeing Krishna's hand and not seeing things as chance or some fluke of material nature, but by seeing things as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, you become trained in that acts of serendipity. So let's finish up that with some sharing of that, those different experiences that we've all had in chanting of the holy name of the Lord and engaging in devotional service. So I thought I would begin with, I was supposed to be in class last Monday, and the purport of, I couldn't come in for that class, but in the purport Srila Prabhupada had referred to, he referenced previous acharya's comments, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, about the potency of the holy name, the potency of Krishna consciousness. How powerful it is. It's as powerful as Lord Balaram. That's how powerful. And how powerful is Balaram? Balaram, he was sent to Hastinapura because Krishna's son, Samba, had fallen in love. Now everybody's listening to the love story. This sounds good. He's fallen in love with the daughter of Duryodhana, Krishna's son. So then there the plot thickens. Duryodhana's not on the, you know, they're sparring. The Kauravas and the Pandavas are not in good terms. So what is going on here? Then Samba takes away Lakshmana, that's the daughter's name. Samba takes Lakshmana away by force in her Swayambara. She has a Swayambara ceremony arranged by her father, Duryodhana, and all the Kauravas in Hastinapura, and she's going to select the prince. Who is the best prince in the whole of Hastinapura, in the whole of Bharatvaj? They're coming there to be assessed by Lakshmana, the daughter of the earth. And Samba, somehow or other, he knew about her, because they're all related, he knew about her, and he thought he'll take her as his wife. So he went there and he took her by force. This is a particular type of marriage that can be. That the Kshatriyas particularly would have partaken. Anyway, he went there and he took her by force, and that disturbed the Duryodhana and disturbed the Kauravas greatly. So they came up with this plan to stop Samba. Six of them, the strongest, most powerful Maharathis. A Maharathi is someone who can defeat hundreds and thousands of soldiers. on the battlefield. One Narada. So there were six of them, headed by Karna, who is equal to Arjuna. So these big, big soldiers, and directed by Bhishma Dev himself. Karna, Bhishma, Jagadketu, and these very, very powerful soldiers of the Kaurava army, they went to capture Sambha. And Sambha stood his ground, and he exchanged his arrows with these six powerful armies of the Kauravas. One person and his to-be wife on a chariot, and he's fighting with these six powerful armies, Maharathis, Bakshanis of powerful soldiers, elephants, and infantry. And he stood his ground, and he fought very valiantly, very courageously, chivalrously. And he was, they acknowledged that. You know, Vishnadev and Karna, they said, well, you've been fighting very well. You're a strong, you're a powerful kshatriya, but we're going to take you in now. So they took, but he killed their horses, the horses and their charioteers, and he disabled their chariots. And he fought very, very, very valiantly with power and expertise. But how could he, one person, the son of Krishna, how could one person defeat these six great warriors? So they captured him and they took him into custody. They put him in jail in Hastinapur. And news got back to Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna's family in Dwarka, that Sambha has been arrested by Duryodhana, by Karna and the Kauravas, because he was trying to marry Lakshmi. So they got very angry. The Pandavas became very angry and disturbed in Krishna, and they wanted to go immediately and fight with the Kauravas in Hastinapur. But Balaram said, no, let's go there and go for a peaceful settlement. So Balaram went there with Uddhava and an army. They went there naturally, staying outside the city of Hastinapur, and sent Uddhava in. And Uddhava told the Kauravas that we've arrived, and Balaram's at the gate of Hastinapur, and he has a message from the Vishnu dynasty. He's not very happy with what happened. He wants somebody to be released, but please come and see him. So they were happy that Balaram was there. They had a very strong relationship with Balaram. So they went out to meet Balaram, and they offered him respect, they offered him the chamra, they offered him sweet words, and they invited him into the city. But Balaram had told them that this is not right, what you did. Six soldiers against one, but not just soldiers, but Maharathis. Six of these most powerful Kaurava soldiers against one soldier. We're very much insulted by this, and we want you to release Sambha immediately, and to release Sambha and his to-be wife, Lakshmana, who we came to get. And who he took from the Svambara ceremony. Then there was an exchange of, ha, just see the Rishnis now, that they're so puffed up, these Rishnis. We gave them a little bit of respect, a little bit of land, and a bit of recognition, and now they think that they're the king, they think that they're the big emperors of the world. But they don't deserve to get this, but we gave them. The only reason why they ever got a chamra, we turned away, we didn't look, but they got the chamra and they got the different items of respect of the great king because of their connection with the Kauravas. Because of us, they're great. So that infuriated Balaram to hear Krishna and the Rishi dynasty to be put down like that in relationship to the Kauravas. And then he offers a string of verses in that chapter, in the 10th canto, to establish the position of Krishna, the rightful position of Krishna and the Rishis, and how the Kauravas only got their power because of Krishna, not the other way around. And they could see Balaram was getting very, very angry. His angst was becoming more and more intense. And he called for his plough. And when Balaram calls for his plough, he means business. So he got his plough, and said the plough extended to a huge proportion. And he dug his plough into the Hastinapur,
and into the river, actually, into the Ganga, on the bank of Hastinapur. And he summoned the Ganga Devi to, when he would lift the city, that she should flood the city. She should go into the city and flood the city. And that's what she did. So he started to drag the city of Hastinapur into the Ganga, and Ganga started coming into the city. So Balaram was coming one way, she was coming the other way, and there was naturally a tsunami and a big earthquake happening, rumbling in Hastinapur. So they came to their senses, the Kauravas. And who did they come out with? They came out with Sambha, and they came out with Lakshmana. And they offered Sambha and Lakshmana to Balaram, along with a dowry, a huge dowry, you know, 1,200 elephants that were 60 years and older, 1,260-year-old elephants, which 60-year-old elephants must be very auspicious. And not 1,200, but 120,000 horses, powerful horses. And 1,000 golden chariots. This was given to as a dowry for Lakshmana. 1,000 golden chariots, and 1,000 maidservants with golden lockets. So they came out with Lakshmana and Sambha and her dowry, and Balaram went back to Dwarka successfully, and they all lived happily ever after. For some time, and then the story continues. So that's how powerful the holy name is, Vishnu Chakravarti says. Lord Balaram can drag a city into the Ganga and force Ganga to inundate the city and shake up the city of the Kauravas. The holy name is that powerful. That's why Prabhupada referred to that as pastime. In the purport, in the three or four verses previous to this today. So we're going to look at the power, the potency of the holy name from the previous acharyas. Particularly, let's start looking at some of the poetry of the acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, particularly, he composed many songs and poems in glorification of the holy name. One of the famous ones and most beloved songs of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that's sung in the morning time in Mayapur. You can hear this Udaro Aruna, Kira Bhagavad Bhaji. Vijayamani Gora Amanima. That Lord Chaitanya is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya's mission, the Sankirtan mission, that has come out in the morning glory. And the sun is just arising on the horizon, on the eastern horizon. And he's come up with his jajas, his kartals, and the mudangas, and they're all playing in time and chanting the holy name of Mukunda Madhava Yadava Nadi, and reminding the sleeping souls who have been uselessly sleeping all night and decorating their bodies during the day, that they have forgotten to worship the darling of Radha Yashoda, Yashoda Sutta. That come up, wake up, and do your business, the real business of life, which is to chant the holy name of the Lord. Because the holy name of the Lord will lead you from all suffering and misery. And he finishes that first part of the song. It's a two-part song. The second part is the famous Jeev Jago. He finishes the first part of the song with the Krishna Nam Sudha Kodiyopana, that this holy name is pure. Krishna Nam Sudha Kodiyopana. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His name. Take this name, and this name, there's nothing like this name. Jubaya Bhaktivinoda Prana. It's the life and soul of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It says, Nahi bina kichu nahi ko aro. Chola bhuvana maage. That in the 14 worlds, there's nothing as powerful as the holy name. Nothing as pure as the holy name. Krishna nam sudha. Kodiya pan. Drink this pure nectar of the holy name. And in the Jeev Jago verse, it's, wake up, Jeev Jago,
to the sport, to the sleeping souls. Wake up and chant the holy name of the Lord, Gora Chandra Bode.
And you'll be happy if you do this.
He says, there's nobody but him. He's a friend of everybody. We don't have any real friends except for the holy name. Ami Bandhu Bino Ami. I'm your friend. The friend has come to wake you up from your ignorance.
And in the fourth verse, I think he says, Enichek Ashodi Maya Nashigora Kodi.
That this holy name is the medicine. Oshadi. Enichek Ashodi Maya Nashigora Kodi.
So please take this Harinama Mahamantra Leotuni Magi.
Take this Harinama Mahamantra and be free from the disease of the illusion of the material world. That is the contamination. That is what we need to be really vaccinated against. We need the vaccination of the holy name. That is the supreme vaccination. Take this Oshadi. We're all going for the Astra or for the Pfizer, but the real Oshadi is the holy name of the Lord. That will protect us. Protect us from birth, death, disease, and old age. Not just temporary, but eternal. Give eternal life. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's praying in all humility that take this pure holy name, drink the nectar of the holy name. And then we have Lochandas Thakur, who sings the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, Paramakarino, Pabu Duijana, Nitai Prabhupada. That these two lords, they're the Sava Avatara, Sava Sidomuni, Kevala Ananda, Kanda. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are simply, they're presenting us with a Kevala Ananda Kanda, with bliss, a blissful process for becoming Krishna conscious, for reviving our Krishna consciousness through the holy name of the Lord, through dancing and chanting, through both, combination, and then feasting. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, that's it, and Lord Nityananda's program is simply to chant and dance. And then he finishes up at the third verse, I think he says that the Pashun Paki Jude, that the animals and the Paki, the birds, they're weeping. Pashun Paki Jude, Pashun Agindale, and the stone is melting. The stone is melting and the animals and the birds are weeping from this holy man. From hearing the holy name of the Lord, from the great mercy that is given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. That's the power of the holy name. That stone will melt. That's the power of the process of Krishna Bhakti. That devotional service of the Lord is so powerful and so pure that there's nothing in comparison. That even animals and even birds will weep when they hear it. And Haridas Thakur, he says to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, I heard from Balabhadra Bhattacharya, your servant, who was accompanied you in the Jatikanda forest. I heard that you made the elephants dance, and I heard you made the tigers kiss with the deer. The deer and the tigers were kissing in the Jatikanda forest. I heard that, and I heard that all the animals, the wild animals and the birds, were following you and chanting the holy name, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari, as you went through a very dangerous forest of Jagadanda. And Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur, he was in great anxiety, and he's glorified because Haridas Thakur was glorified as the Namacharya. Lord Chaitanya gave him this position, this recognition, that you're the Namacharya, the teacher of the holy name of the Lord. You teach the whole world the potency of the holy name of the Lord. And he says to Haridas Thakur, How will the galvanism and the lectures in this age of Kali, how will they get delivered? How will they be free? Lord Chaitanya is in great anxiety. He came to deliver everybody, but he's having problems thinking about these yamas who are outside the Ranasham system, who are killing, slaughtering cows. How will they get benefit? How will they be delivered? And Haridas Thakur, he said, they're already delivered by your chanting of the holy name, your loud chanting of the holy name. And there's a discussion about the importance of loud chanting the holy name. There's two types of chanting. One chanting we do in japa, where we quietly chant the holy name of the Lord. And the other one is loud chanting, uchaya. Loudly chant the holy name of the Lord so everybody can be benefited. The trees are, and Lord Chaitanya said, and he said, well, what about the moving, the non-moving living entities? How will they be benefited? And he said, the trees also benefit by the loud chanting. And the apparent echo that you hear from the loud chanting is actually the trees and the non-moving living entities chanting back, responding in kirtan. They're also, and Lord Chaitanya said, but then if everybody is liberated by hearing the holy name of the Lord, by the loud chanting the holy name of the Lord, there'll be no living entities left on the planet. And he said, don't mind, Yamaraj has plenty of other people to fill the spots. They can be filled up quickly. And then he referred to Ayodhya. Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya, he took all the residents of Ayodhya back to the spiritual world. But Ayodhya was quickly filled up again. Krishna took everybody back from Mathura, and quickly more Vrijlasis came filled up. So Lord Chaitanya is liberating the land of Navadvip and Puri, Orissa, and South India. So that anybody who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became liberated of Krishna Prema just by seeing him on his tour of South India, or to speak of touching him or hearing him or engaging with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the power of Lord Chaitanya, the power of the devotees, the Lava Mantra. Sarvasiddhi Hoya, Lava Mantra, Sarvasiddhi Hoya. That one becomes, just by a moment's association with the Vaishnava, one can achieve all perfection, just by a flickering moment's association. And we see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, many times of this connection. Prabhupada says, let's start with the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, in the verse number 8, Maya Visha, Maya Vishaya, Krishna says he's using this pronoun Mayi, in me. He's used, in the Bhagavad Gita you'll find many pronouns, aham, maya, mayi, referring to who? Referring to Krishna. He's a person. Personal pronoun, I say in English. A personal pronoun. Sarvam. This name refers to Krishna. This pronoun. Mayi, in me. So put your mind in me. And put your intelligence in me. Buddhima. Place that into me. Those who do that, who have put their mind and their intelligence in me, they will live in me. Vishishasi Mayeva, without a doubt, Adhuvanda Samsaya, they'll live in me always if you place your mind and your intelligence in me. Now in this purport, that's the top rung of the bhakti ladder, to have your mind and your intelligence on Krishna. That's the top rung. And Krishna says, if you can't do that, then there's alternatives, different things that we can do. We can study, we can cultivate knowledge, we can give charity, we can do so many other things. Krishna is very inclusive. He makes it available for everybody. He's like a program. But the top one is that Maya Ramana Adastha. Do the mind in Krishna. Put the mind in Krishna's feet. Mananda Vani Bhakti. And the purport Srila Prabhupada, he makes this famous statement, which he refers to on a number of occasions. In other things, one or two other purports and in lectures and in conversations, And he says there that the potency of associating with Krishna, making Krishna in the mind. Let me read it. So concise and poetic and perfect. Though Reba Prabhupada says so, I don't miss any of the subtleties or the nuances of what Prabhupada's trying to present here. In the verse. This is Prabhupada's purport to that verse. One who is engaged in Lord Krishna's devotional service lives in a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So there is no doubt. Nasamsayaha. There is no doubt that his position is transcendental from the very beginning. A devotee does not live on the material plane. He lives in Krishna, Maya. The holy name of the Lord and the Lord are not different. Therefore, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna, Krishna and his internal potency are dancing on the tongue of the devotee. When he offers Krishna food, Krishna directly accepts these edibles, and the devotee becomes Krishna-eyed by eating the remnants. One who does not engage in such service cannot understand how this is so. Right? They can't understand. Like the residents of the Kauravas couldn't understand how powerful Balaram is until he pulled the city into it. It says because of their mutana na kubudima, their bad intelligence and their ignorance, they couldn't understand. That the power of Rama Rama Kiladara. That's what they came out and said to Lord Balaram, Rama Rama Kiladara. That you're the source, you're the fountain of all strength, of all power. Now we know that we didn't know that before. We didn't understand that, your power. Now we can see that. This is the power of the holy name. Prabhupada says, one who does not engage in service cannot understand how this is so. Although this is the process recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and in other Vedic literatures. So the holy name dance on the tongue of the devotee when we chant the holy name. We might not all experience that, but that's an aspiration that we'll have the holy name dancing on the tongue when we chant. And there are certain things that we need to do, make adjustments that we need to put in place in order for the holy name to be dancing on our tongue. It comes from the consciousness of the devotee and the way we do our chanting, when we do our chanting, how we do our chanting, why we do our chanting. Then when we get all of those things in line, Krishna's dancing is dancing on the tongue. When we engage in devotional service, it's taking shelter of Krishna. That's the Krishna Ashraya, Daivi Shakti. When we come into the shelter of the Daivi Prakriti, then we touch Krishna. The pujari has the opportunity or the fortune to touch Krishna. Prabhupada, the pujari can put their head on the feet of Krishna. Every day they can put their head there on the feet of Radha Balava on Gaurita, on Jagannath. And through that touch, they become enlivened, spiritually enlivened. Just like the Dhruva Maharaj was touched on the head, on the forehead, or in the kapala, on the cheek, by the Lord, Lord Narayan, with his conch. And he became inspired, he became empowered to recite beautiful verses of glorification of the Lord. Pallad Maharaj got the Karasvarsha on his Sirashi, on his head, and he became free from all doubts or any all of his previous sinful activities, he says,
the lots
of his previous sins, by the Kalaspasha of Lord Nrsimhadev, put his hand on the head. There's a beautiful painting of that, of Lord Nrsimhadev putting his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj. And we have the serpent, we did have a serpent, who got the Parasvasha of Krishna. Savai Bhagavata Srimat Parasvasha Atashubha. All of his sinful reactions were relieved. Atashubha. Bad, they're gone. They were killed, they were finished by the Parasvasha of Krishna. By Lord Krishna's foot on his head, on his body. Then he gave up his sarva bhaku hitva, he gave up his body of a snake. And he took this rupam vidyadhara chitam, took the form of the vidyadhara, the great demigod. He got his demigod form back because of a curse. So this, when this touch of the Lord is very powerful process of transforming devotees, and teaching devotees how to rise to higher platforms. That is from the intimate touch. The intimate touch of Sudama Vipra. When Sudama went to Dwarka, he went to Dwarka and Krishna, they had this exchange and this memory, shared memories of their days in Gurukul together. This is the first Gurukul reunion, Kuli Mela. Krishna and Sudama in Dwarka. They had their first Kuli Mela, and after that he was walking home and was thinking, he was recollecting what Krishna did. He offered me this worship, he bathed my feet, he offered so many lamps and so much incense, and gave me such beautiful food, sweets, that I just, you know, he gave all the birthday from the Maha, all the Ladu, everything he gave. I got everything. How did he do that? And not only that, he says, Sudama's thinking to himself, this is what he says in, like, on his way back, he says, Kvaham, who am I? He says, Papiyam, Dalitra, I'm a poor man and I'm Papiyam, I'm poor and sinful. Kvaham, Kva Krishna, who's Krishna? Shunigetana, he is the Lord of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Who am I? I've got nothing. I'm a simple person. But I'm a Brahma Bandhu with this Maha. Just a friend of a poor Brahmana's friend. I'm nothing. That's how he's thinking, Sudama. But what happened is Bhagavyam Pariyamitaha. Krishna embraced him with two arms. Bhagavyam. But with one arm, but two. Jewel case. Two arms around him, he embraced him when he saw him. Through that intimate connection, Sudama Vipra's life was transformed, right, by the touch of Krishna. And we have the opportunity to receive that touch of Krishna every day when we put our hand in the bean bag, every day when we start to chant the holy name of the Lord, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari Prakartala Mrananga. Every day we place ourselves in the service of the Lord. We are connecting with that spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy has the power to free us from our sinful activities, past papa, and to create, and to enable us to create such an auspicious life for ourselves and for others. And when we get this mantra, we want to share, that's the Yuga Dharma. Kali Kali Yuga Dharma. Namila Pacha. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that the Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is to preach the glories of the name, the holy name of the Lord. To tell everybody that you meet, did you know about Krishna? Do you know how powerful the name of Krishna is? It's as powerful as Lord Balaram. You don't know who Balaram is? Tell about Balaram. It's a powerful, the holy name is pure. Drink the holy name of this pure holy name. There's nothing like the holy name of the 14 worlds. You know there's 14 worlds? Or Deka Vibha Tri Bhuvanina in the three worlds. You really know there's three worlds? It's the most powerful commodity that we have to become free And we've all experienced that. And I wanted to finish today's class with a little bit of workshopping of the holy name. We've heard it from the Acharyas, we've heard from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this is the Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. That Lord Chaitanya is, that the holy name is the Avatar for Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. The Avatar is the name, the holy name of the Lord. He comes in this form of the holy name, he comes in the Bhagavatam, in the book, in the devotee. So we touch the book, we're touching Krishna. It's Bhagavad Kaspasha. We touch the book, the holy name. We give the book to someone, they're touching Krishna. They have the opportunity to be transformed. Prabhupada said that. On many, many occasions when the book distributors just put the book in somebody's hand, that's a great fortune for the people to touch the book, the incarnation of Krishna, the literary incarnation of Krishna, the sound incarnation of Krishna, the holy name of Krishna. The Bhagavad incarnation, the devotee incarnation of Krishna. So I just like to kick it off and share a few stories that I've heard or experienced myself or heard others of the power of the holy name, and then hand it over to our august assembly here this morning in the Nova Mahabhu Mandir. One of my favorite stories, there are many, you know, instances, occasions where Krishna prompts us and says, see, just see. We talked about serendipity at the start of the class. That serendipity is it's when something very auspicious happens apparently by chance, but this is Krishna's arrangement, of course. When I first went to, in Auckland, when we first went there to teach in the school in Auckland, I was ordering some resources for the school. And so I was trying to explain to the courier where we were. The school's in the back of the property. I don't know if anybody's been to Auckland here, to the Auckland Hare Krishna Temple, but at the back, of the property is a school. And it's a big, beautiful 100-acre property. And at the back of the property, there's an estuary, beautiful river that flows through the back of the property. And there's a temple, a very large temple. It's a custom-built temple for Radha Govindan Jagannath, I suppose. So I was trying to explain to the courier where we are, because they might drop the resources at the front, they might drop the temple, or they drop the temple, who knows where they're going to finish up. So I tell them the school, trying to explain where the school is. So I said, you know, first of all, give them the big landmark. Like in India, say it's opposite the post office or the railway station or something. So I said, you know, the Huapai golf course, we're next to the Huapai golf course, down the back next to the Huapai golf course. He said, no, we don't know the Huapai golf course. And so I gave some other local landmarks. Everybody knows, right? This courier, he doesn't know anything. I'm just new to Auckland, I know these landmarks. So the courier said to me on the phone, is it anywhere near the Hare Krishna temple? I said, yeah, it's right next to the Hare Krishna temple. You're in the right spot. So just go down the back and drop it off there. And we got our goods, we got our resources. So many, many people know that the Hare Krishna is, that we don't even know about, know the Hare Krishna is. And one time, at the end of my time in New Zealand, teaching in Auckland, the Prime Minister of the country, we didn't invite him. His secretary called the school one day and said, is it all right if the Prime Minister comes to visit the school? He was in our local a lecture in Warramundi district. His office was next to our school, like maybe 5 minutes drive from the school. So when someone calls and says, the Prime Minister wants to come to your school, they said, well, we'll see if we can fit him in. The breaks. Let's see if we can fit him in. And so they came, he came with his entourage, small entourage, humble kind of situation. Doesn't need any bodyguards. So he comes to the school with a few bodyguards, nice car, of course, Prime Minister's car. And I park sitting in a dirty car park. You know, we have this car park, it's all buckshot, the ground is all unmade, not very nice. So he parks there and he walks over to the school hall. And we told the children that the Prime Minister's coming and he's an important man, right? So the 5-year-old kid, what does the kid know? The Prime Minister's coming, it's 1 time for supper. Don't worry about the Prime Minister. So we're going to the hall. That's where usually they have prasadam in the hall. We're not going there for prasadam, we're going for the Prime Minister. He's going to come, and when he comes, everybody will stand up to greet him for respect and say, Hare Krishna, Mr. John Key. Because I told us not to call him Prime Minister, we should call him by his name. His name is John Key. So we taught them, this is, you know, we did practice for the 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. Hare Krishna, Mr. John Key. So they got it down. That was their mantra. Hare Krishna, Mr. John Key. Then the whole school, we had about 70 or 80, 100 students there. And he walked in with his bodyguards. You know, they're all mic'd up and they're talking something in their microphones. And John Key's in the middle. And, you know, he took his shoes off. They're very respectful. They didn't follow the whole etiquette of Hare Krishna. And he walked down in the middle of the hall, small hall. He walked in the middle of this hall, old weatherboard hall. And he walked in, and the children, there was a pathway for him, and everybody stood up on key, on John Key, everybody stood up, and they said in unison, Hare Krishna, Mr. John Key, right? So loudly they said like that, and he was stunned, you know, he didn't know what to expect when he first came into Hare Krishna school for a start, and then he heard Hare Krishna, really loud, Hare Krishna, Mr. John Key, and told the kid to go, really pump it out. Like, got to get this Hare Krishna mantra out. And so he stopped in his tracks halfway down and he said, Hare Krishna, children. Because they spontaneously said, Hare Krishna, to everybody understanding that that was our mode of greeting. Like he would greet the Maori population, the indigenous, and he would greet them with their greeting, Tera or Maori, he would greet them. And so he understands the subtleties of greeting people. So he chanted Hare Krishna, the Prime Minister. And he had a nice visit and eventually a temple and he got a cookbook and Bhagavad Gita, etc. And just as a side on the day after that, the children, the 5-year-old kids in the prep school, they were writing about the event, you know, doing a recount. And they were writing when the Prime Minister came. And one of the girls wrote, yesterday, Mr. Donkey, came to our school. So that was the kids. No, not Donkey, John Key. But we didn't tell him, we didn't send the recounts to the office. Anyway. The holy name is very powerful and we have a lot of fun with the holy name, but it's whatever. Anyway, Sankirtya Parihasyam Vastogamiram Vibhava. We have that verse in this chapter. Whatever way we hear, we receive, we engage with and deliver the holy name, it carries potency. And that's the message at the beginning today. Anybody like to share some experience they had with chanting the holy name of the Lord? At school, or at work, or at home, or at the temple, or at a festival. Yes, ma'am. Take the mic, please.
Thank you, Bruce. So this is more, I heard the experience of saying. Recently, I met a couple in their house. They are like business people, they have some shop. So I went to give them some prasad. First time I went to their house. And they said that a few months back, when Mataji was in some situation, like someone unwell back in India, and she never had faith in anything. Like previously she doesn't have faith in anything, father also. Brought up like in that way, so not religious or anything like that. But when she faced the channel, she thought, okay, you know, maybe I should do some listening or some meditation or some bhajan or something. That's what they do, you know, when someone is in the world, listen something pleasant, something So she just went into YouTube, typed Hare Krishna bhajans, and you know, randomly she just typed like kirtans and bhajans. So in the first one it came the Mahamantra, some ISKCON devotees put there. And she just listened to that, and at that time she felt very nice, and she kept on had the practice like every week or every opportunity she kept on listening. And then later she said that she went and searched in Facebook that she wanted to, because she listened, she wanted to donate something. So she went into Facebook and searched for Hare Krishna, you know, donation and things like that. And for randomly, she didn't know about even temple yet. So then she found the Vindam Hare Krishna were doing free prasadam distribution last year during the COVID time when they were distributing. And then she actually offered, saying that, you know, I'd like to contribute to the Boha, like rice, because they have the shopping shop. So that's how they started. And I just came to know now, like a few days ago, but that's how the Mahamantra actually helped. Like, you know, she picked up things from there, and now she's asking for books and very interested, both of them seem very interested to know. So then I found out how even that once they started listening, that Mahamantra is now kind of helping them in many ways. It has come up in the
very nice. At the Windham is our Western Suburbs preaching, and Guruport is very much responsible for that book. Helping out with that problem. Anybody else like to share a Mahamantra story? Yes, Paul. Mahajana Yinavatasa Panta. He's one of our great Mahajanas here.
Thanks, Prabhupada. I've been visiting this Shiva Vishnu temple in Karamo quite a lot because it's greatly very close to my old shop. And when I went to the temple, and when the priest sees me, they put their hands up and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And sometimes they have festivals, they take the deities out for circumambulation of the temple, and they do ask me, please get some people in Hare Krishna temple to join us and chant. So at times, I'm talking about today, talking to you, but at times a lot of people in Hare Krishna temple also come with us and go around the temple and singing, dancing, chanting, which those people in the Sri Krishna temple enjoy a lot. They should love it. So whenever the festival, they will say, please call some people, let them go around the temple, chant and dance with us. So, I mean, that's a good, positive thing coming to another temple.
Very nice. The Rogis know us. People know us as the Hare Krishnas. And so, when they want someone to do some chanting, they say, get those Hare Krishna people in. They'll do the chanting for you. No worries. We'll all address the deities. There's a temple, a new temple opened up in Auckland, called the Ram Temple in Auckland. And they didn't have any pujaris. They said, let's get the Hare Krishnas to do the puja. Get the Hare Krishnas to do the Ravajan. Get the Hare Krishnas to do the Kirtan. Because they know that's what we do. We do puja, we do kirtan, and we cook. So that they know us by the Hare Krishnas. We have one for
you. Once I was in Chennai, South India, and I'm not familiar with the city I was visiting. And I had to go from A to B, and I caught the wrong bus. Someone said, hey, get this bus, and I got the bus. And in the middle, they told me, no, this bus doesn't go there, so I have to get down. I didn't know where I was, and we were there. And next to me, there was a tree, and the tree had really fat ants on it. And I had to brush that off, and one of the ants got on me. And next minute, there was pain on my finger, and I saw that it was a big ant, like, the front of it is like a small pea head, and the back is also like one of those ants, and it bit me. And it was so painful. The poison was so painful, I just started to cry. And I thought, oh Krishna, I began to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I thought, I couldn't feel any pain. I thought, is there no pain? And I just looked at it, and after a minute of looking at it and not chanting, the pain was back. I thought, no, you know, because the pain was so intense that tears like a really chant, Hare Krishna. And then the pain was gone, and I realized, wow, it was amazing because the consciousness was not absorbed in the pain, it was absorbed in the mantra. Mm. That's great.
That's how we have to chant every day. Hare Krishna. We're in this painful, material world is a painful situation. We're being bitten by the material energy non-stop from the time we're in the womb. But we think we make adjustments and it's not so bad. We just put some ointment on it. That'll be okay. But actually, we need to take that Oshodhi energy, Oshodhi mind, to cure the disease.
Once I was distributing books in the.
Yeah, take that mic. So I was kidding.
To one side was distributing books, higher test, and to in Sydney there was a fair. Normally when they have a fair, so I used to go. So one day I was distributing, and when I distribute book, I always show it. Just I don't speak much, I just show it. So one lady called me, and they told me my husband is a surgeon, and I'm also in medical profession. In 1970s, when Prabhupada came, and at that point in time, they had given them this book, this higher test. And then, from reading that book, they came to know about the Hare Krishna mantra, and they have become vegetarian. And still, they are vegetarian, and the whole family has become vegetarian. Mm. And they offered the prasadam like that. So it was amazing.
So the urgency of Prabhupada's books and the urgency of...
And they still hold the book. Old books, they're 70s, they got the book. So I thought, okay, this new version, they check, okay, it's about the same. The content is the same, everything.
Did they take the new book?
New books, yes, they have the new books.
Probably got the same recipes. Anyone else? Back to share. In the experiences of powerful experiences of the holy name of the Lord, or not so powerful. Fun experiences, joyful experiences. How about some of the kids?
Super kids.
Sivan, have you had any experiences of chanting? How many rounds a day can you chant?
Six.
Six? Huh? 16 rounds. Can you give a mic to the doctors? Can you give her the mic? Now, for how old are you?
10.
For a 10-year-old to be chanting 16 rounds a day and going to school and being enrolled in Bhakti learning and doing come to our original class practically every day of the year and Mangalati, you must have something to share with us. How do you get 16 rounds done?
Because sometimes I come early to Mangalati, so I just check some of the rounds before the curtains open. And then I go home and then I chant my remaining rounds.
And how are those rounds before the curtain opens? How do you feel with those rounds?
I feel good with them.
What are your best rounds of the day? Before the Mangalati, or after Mangalati, or at night time, late at night, after homework. They're all good for you. All the rounds are good for her. It's amazing. And you joined that group online? There's an online group with Zana Mataji?
Yes.
That's wow. There's over 100 students, isn't it? 130 children. Go online every day and chant 900 together. It's a lot of progress here. Very good. Anything else?
Question?
Sure. We better wind it up soon. Otherwise, now I'm mindful of Bhakti Mata Guru Mata coming in and seeing so.
I have a question about the classroom. The Bhagavad Gita purport was saying how Krishna says that my devotee will live in me. So what do we mean by that devotee? Because the word devotee has a wide range of people who fall into that category. Pure devotee will live with Krishna. So then we have the next level, and we're somewhere in the line. And what I mean is the umbrella is of the devotees, really the devotees that they probably chant one round, people sometimes they chant two rounds. So who lives in Krishna? In Krishna's mind, who lives in me?
That's a good question. And Krishna answers it in the same verse. Maya eva mana adastha. The one who is in Krishna is the one whose mind is in Krishna, fully Krishnaized. When the mind becomes completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that then you live in Krishna. Otherwise, the mind is half and half, chanchalani mana Krishna. When the mind is going here and there, we don't live in Krishna. We live sometimes there and sometimes here. We're not taking the full thing. And when the buddhi, when the intelligence, when we live fully in Krishna, with intelligence, then we live in Krishna. So when the intelligence is completely in Krishna, means when the intelligence is directed and guided purely by Krishna, by the super soul, Paramatma, when our intelligence, when our process, faculty of discrimination is 100% for Krishna, understanding everything we do, putting everything in that perspective, paripas, shakti, darshanam, the material energy has no influence, then we live in Krishna. And that doesn't mean that we're living in Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. Jiva Mukta Sucha, it says that the devotee lives in Krishna here in the material world, who has his mind and has his intelligence completely fixed in Krishna, fixed up in Krishna. Someone's trying to get some.
What was Lord's purpose? Prabhu sends pictures every day, so.
Hi. If you go here, you don't need his pictures. Mine will be gone. I put my phone on silence, but I will be getting the images of the pictures. Yes?
Actually, it's interesting to see how Bhagavatam in the very beginning is glorification of the holy name, Hare Nama Kirtan. And again, in the middle, there's a glorification in the sixth canto, second chapter, middle. Very, very wonderful glorification of the holy name. And at the very end of Bhagavatam, which is 12th canto, again, this glorification. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question in 12th canto, 3rd chapter, 16th verse. How can people of this Kali Yuga can rid themselves from the contamination of the sage of Kali? So, and what are different ages, the characteristics of different ages and all. And very nicely, Sukadeva Goswami, that was the answer to that, saying that the four yugas, how they get degraded, and at the very end he concludes saying that Kale Doshan Ide Rajan Nasti Hayeko Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramrajita Yatsa Vrteya Jyayata Vishnu Tretayam Yatramadhe Vapari Paracharyayam Karota Dhari Kirtana. What I'm trying to say is how nicely, how important is the holy name is stressed in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, in the middle of Bhagavatam, and also at the very end. Of course, here and there also there's a lot of places mentioned. So we have to understand in Kali Yuga what is the other shelter, because Krishna appeared in this age in the form of his holy name. So complete shelter of the holy name. That is the only hope, especially now with this pandemic going around. 2 years completely devoured, and the third year started again. Looks, the very starting looks not very good. So only way we can make all this younger children, at least our life has passed and the younger children, there's so much life left, and they haven't even still started to know what the world, seeing all this, we had to very nicely, it's very good that Dharmanath has started this group, which children, they learn to depend on the holy name, take shelter of the holy name. That is the only hope, isn't it? Is otherwise very not good. So it's very good that children are trained about in the very beginning how, because Kali Yuga, as the time goes, it's going to go more and more and more bad, only nothing good we are going to see. So good to train kids from the very beginning to completely have faith and take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Thank you,
Prabhupada. Thank you. Madhuji, from the Bhagavad Gita, you've been training our children for decades in chanting the holy name of the Lord, the importance of chanting and mantra chanting. So many of our children know chapters of the Bhagavad Gita because of her hard work. And we'll finish up on that realization of Bhagavatam. Beginning, middle, and end is a holy name. And everything in the middle is to demonstrate and to prove and to elaborate on the potency, the power, and the purity of taking shelter of the holy name of the Lord. Shri Hari Nam Prabhu Ki
Jai,
Shri Parvatam Ki
Jai,
Shri Parvatam Ki
Jai.